Good morning, and peace be with you. I am sorry I am late. I have been raised to take responsibility for my own actions, but I'd like to tell you that today I'm late, and it's all Nick's fault. He asked me about my granddaughter and how our trip was to go see her, and that's a big lie as far as it is my fault, but I enjoyed, you know how I like to talk about our grandbaby. So nice to have you back, Nick, and welcome to our guests, and welcome to our family reunion that happens every Sunday. And without further ado, I am going to call up Lee for our announcements, and he'll go through and let you know all the things that we need to know. Thank you, Lee.
Good morning to all and welcome. I won't read word for word the whole page here because a lot of it, most of you have memorized anyway, I think, but I will hit on a few of the items. Of course, don't forget Pam's got a birthday coming up this Friday, I think it is. She'll be 36 finally, so it took her a while, but anyway. Happy almost birthday. Mission this month is Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child, which is where they put together a bunch of gifts for kids all over the world, kids in need. So sit and be fit. I know it doesn't really need any reminding, but every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock for a sit and fit class for seniors. Then I'm going to skip down a ways. I won't talk about the Bible studies. We got some new people here. So Tuesday at 11:15 a.m. we have a Bible study next door in the fellowship hall every Tuesday. We'll be in 1 Timothy this week. And then the men also have a separate Bible study conversation in the pastor's office on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And they have a pretty good gathering there. So let's see, the VO is having a harvest festival for Halloween again. They have not asked for any help or anything, but if anybody feels like donating candy or anything to help them with the cost of that and everything, because they like to keep the kids safe and have the Halloween party here. It's on October 31st. Okay, the fall piano concert that we're having with the other Nick on November 15th. It's a Saturday afternoon, it's at 3 o'clock. It's about an hour long, and we expect to have some sort of refreshments afterwards, as I understand. So nothing big, don't skip lunch because you think you're gonna get dinner, but it'll be a snack and time to sit around and talk. That's always a lot of fun. And that'll be Nick Galanitis and Dr. Hannah Murray. She'll be here again too. They made a good couple when they had their duets, especially playing the violin and the piano, and really neat stuff. Reformation Day, we'll be acknowledging that on Sunday, October 26th, which is 2 weeks from now. Be sure to wear your red. And then on November 2nd is All Saints Day, where we commemorate the lives of our friends and family who passed away in this past year. Please give the name of your loved ones to Ashley for the bulletin so she can include them for you. Make sure everybody gets recognized and remembered. So I think that's all I really have, so I will get out of the way here. Anybody have anything else that needs to be shared? Okay, thank you.
Is hymn number 527, All Creatures of Our God and King. We'll sing the first four verses.
Thank you.
Will you please stand if you're able? We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as you're called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. First reading is taken from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. This can be found on page 411 in the Pew Bible. This chapter introduces Ruth, daughter-in-law of Naomi, and the themes of God's sovereignty and her unwavering commitment to both God and Naomi. Ruth 1, verses 1 through 19. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of the people in providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? I'm not going to have any more sons who could become your husbands. Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At that time, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. When you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went out until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" We will read Psalm 111 responsively. It's printed on page 6 of the bulletin. This psalm is an exclamation of commitment to praise God with sincere and complete devotion for his glorious works. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He provides food for those who fear him, remembers his covenant forever. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts are trustworthy. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The next reading is taken from the second book of Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And this can be found on page 1853 in the Pew Bible. This portion of Apostle Paul's letter to his beloved disciple urges Timothy to remain and set as a steadfast leader and passing on the gospel truths. Timothy 2, verses 1 through 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's work is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we die with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will not disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
The 17th chapter, Glory to You, O Lord. Our gospel this morning is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, is found on page 1626 in your Pew Bible. Luke records, "Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, they met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, because nothing good comes from any other place. I have a story to tell you before we kick into the sermon. And it's a story some of you have been involved in. It's about a church that was looking for a pastor to come and call committees and all that. Maybe you can relate to this. It goes this way. A church was in need of a pastor, and for some time they were having trouble getting one. It wasn't because pastors weren't applying, but it was because the congregation always seemed to find fault with the pastors. Most pastors were rejected when the people read the resume. Some didn't even have enough experience. Some had too much experience. Some not enough education. Some too much education, and so on. Well, there was a member of the board who was growing tired of this situation and wanted a decision to be made. So he decided to do something. On the next Sunday, he got up in the pulpit and he announced that he had yet another resume to share with the congregation. Many of them, they sat back like that. They sat back and folded their arms and they began to listen, and they were ready to see what faults that they could find on the new applicant. So the board member began to read the resume, and it went something like this. Dear church members, I am writing to apply for position as your pastor. My experience is more along the lines of an evangelist, but I believe I could fill your position adequately. Now, I have never attended any Bible school per se, but I have a lot of field experience. I don't have a degree on my wall, and I don't really have a wall for that matter. I've traveled around most of my life. I've renting and doing odd jobs to support myself and preaching wherever I was invited, that is, churches in the streets or even in jails. As a matter of fact, I've been thrown in jail several times, unrighteously, of course, and I have been involved in a few public squabbles. Some people call them riots. I've been accused of being anti-Semitic, anti-authority, and causing disturbances almost everywhere that I go. But I did have a few conversions to Christianity during my ministry, as well as a few healings. I don't really remember how many people I baptized, but thank you for considering my application. Most of the people, they looked up at the deacon with smirks of condemnation. Some people chuckled out loud. And one man stood up, still laughing, and he asked the deacon, "Does this guy actually expect us to seriously consider him as our pastor? He's been in prison. Just what is this fellow's name anyway?" And the deacon replied that the letter was signed the Apostle Paul. At first glance today, There may not seem to be a lot in common between our Old Testament reading and the gospel for today. The Old Testament reading deals with the tragedies that struck a woman named Naomi and how her daughter-in-law, Ruth, remained faithful to her through thick and through thin. And then the gospel tells us about 10 lepers who asked Jesus for healing, and then they received healing. And you could ask, what could possibly be a common theme that is woven between these two stories? Well, the Old Testament reading and the gospel for today, they both deal with outcasts. Outcasts, people that are outside of society or outside of the norm or outside of what you would expect or outside of what you would want to see on a resume. The Old Testament reading and the gospel for today both deal with outcasts. Outcasts are people who don't fit in, who don't fit in our expectations. Outcasts are people who make us feel uncomfortable, maybe even frightened. They might be loud. They might be rude or obnoxious. They might even smell. Whatever it might be, there is something about an outcast that makes us want to forget that they too are one of God's creations and very much loved by Him. And it's pretty easy to see that the lepers of the gospel are outcasts. But where is the outcast in the book of Ruth? In the last sermon before he died, Moses said that. He said, "No Ammonite, no Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia," easy for your pastor to say, "to curse you." This is Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 through 4. And then today's Old Testament reading tells us that Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, that he died and that she was left with her two sons. And these two sons took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah and the name of the other was Ruth. So Ruth was a Moabite. And according to Moses, she could not be allowed to join the assembly of the Lord. Her resume didn't match up. Not only was Ruth from Moab, but she was a woman. The culture of the Old Testament was patriarchal. That is that men ran things and women had very few rights. Ruth really had two strikes against her. She was a Moabite and she was a woman. She was a true outcast. Now, the book of Ruth is a really wonderful story about how God provided a redeemer for this outcast. The story between Ruth and Boaz wonderfully foreshadows the relationship of Christ with his bride. His bride is the church. Ruth eventually became the great-grandmother of King David and a distant ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now, as to the outcasts in today's gospel, as I said before, they are very obvious. Perhaps no disease mentioned in the Bible is a better metaphor for sin than leprosy. And Easton's Bible Dictionary describes this disease this way: "This disease begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms. And it's gradually spreading over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward into the bones, rotting the whole body piecemeal. Even today, with our modern technology, the word leper still streaks, it still strikes a bit of fear. The lepers in our gospel were literally dead men walking. It was almost as if the decay of death set in before the body was actually dead. And lepers were outcasts because of their medical condition. Lepers were also legal outcasts. The law of Moses said, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, and he shall cry out, unclean, unclean, and he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. This is Leviticus 13. This is the reason that, as we read today, that the lepers stood at a distance. By law, they were not allowed to go near anyone. So today, and toward the end of today's gospel, we learn that one of the lepers was even more of an outcast than all of the others. Did you catch that? Then one of them, we read, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. Now, he was a Samaritan. So he's a leper, and he's a Samaritan. Samaritans, we know, were below the bottom rung of the social ladder among the Jews. Many years before Jesus had walked on this earth, the Assyrians defeated the northern tribes of Israel, and they exiled the Israelites, and they brought pagans in to take their place. And the Samaritans were the descendants of the unions between these pagans and a few Israelites who had managed to stay in the land. They represented people who did not keep themselves pure. Of all the outcasts who lived in the first century, Samaritans were at the bottom of the social list. So both Ruth and the Samaritan leper had a third strike against them. That third strike is that they were both sinners. And in this respect, they are like us and all other people in this world. We are all outcasts. We have all been cast out and are outside from the Garden of Eden. And there is a problem when everyone is an outcast. That problem is because we are fallen people who live in a fallen world, and there is no way for us to even know that we have fallen. Since the fallen world is all that we have ever known, we believe that we live in a perfectly healthy and normal world. There is nothing to indicate that anything is wrong. However, it's not until the Holy Spirit shows us God's law that we realize that we are outcasts. When the Holy Spirit shows us our reflection in the mirror of God's law, we see that we have a very serious disease. And even while we live physically, our spirits are rotten with sin. Just as a leper is a dead man walking, so a sinner is a damned man walking. And when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and he shows us the truth of God's law, we see that we are outcasts, that we are, well, that we are sinners and that we are spiritual lepers. And as spiritual lepers, we can't enter the city of God, and so we are doomed to spend eternity in hell. Now, after the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the law and we finally begin to feel the guilt that we so richly earned, he opens our eyes and he shows us the truth of the gospel. That's the division between law and gospel. When Jesus healed those 10 lepers physically, he was making his way to Jerusalem to take their spiritual leprosy to the cross. And not just their spiritual leprosy, but from the time that he shed blood at his birth to the time his blood was poured out at his death, he carried the spiritual leprosy of the entire world. In Jerusalem, he would offer himself and he would become the cure for the disease. And that was by sacrificing himself on the cross. And in his resurrection from the dead, well, he offers this cure to the world, to all who would believe. The story of the Samaritan leper actually has three miracles. There is the obvious healing miracle. Jesus healed the leprosy. And then there is the miracle of breaking down the barrier between Jew and Samaritan. Jesus knew this man was a foreigner, but he healed him anyway. And finally, there is the miracle of conversion. We read that the healed Samaritan worshiped Jesus with thanksgiving. With that, God opened the kingdom of heaven to this double outcast, the Samaritan leper. He welcomed him. God welcomed him into his city. Now, most of us has heard this story many times during our lives, but have we thought about the outcasts in our own lives? Are there any outcasts in our own lives? I'm going to share another story with you, and this is from another pastor that wrote this, and he shared it with his congregation. It's a contemporary happenstance that it's got a similar theme to what we just read. And maybe, just maybe, you can relate to it. The pastor said this: during my teen years, we lived next door to a very interesting family. I never saw the father without a can of beer in his hand. Mostly, the father came outside to yell at his kids. And the son, who was my age, was also very interesting. He was an explosives expert. You see, he mixed his own explosives and he made them from chemicals that he had in his basement, and he set them off in his backyard. And one time, this young man left. Well, he let me drive his new motorcycle around the block, and boy, did he brag! He bragged about the deal that he got on the motorcycle. And later I learned that the reason he got the bike so cheaply was, well, because the person that sold it to him didn't really own it. Now, many of us would be ready to label these people as outcasts. But God didn't do that. You see, many years later, after my parents retired, they attended a Bible camp near their home. And imagine my parents' surprise when they met a few members of that outcast family who were also in attendance at the Bible camp. They, the family, are now members of a Lutheran congregation. We didn't know it back then, but they had been watching us. They watched and they heard my father as he gathered us together for evening devotions after supper. They heard us sing hymns. The Holy Spirit used that experience in their lives to bring them into His church. Now they gather together with their children and they sing hymns with them. I don't think my father was making any special effort to evangelize that family. He was just doing what the head of the house is supposed to do. And that is to teach the faith to his household. And we had absolutely no idea that the Holy Spirit would use us in this way. I ask you, how about that for a story? And perhaps you have a story like that to tell too. I'd love to hear it. I won't use it in a sermon if you tell me not to, but I'd love to hear those kind of stories from you. Again, I ask, who are the outcasts in your life? Who are the people who make your life challenging? Who might be watching the love of God at work in your life? When Jesus healed the Samaritan leper, he not only opened the gospel to the Samaritans, but he opened it to all people, including those who live right here in Southern California. And as God heals the leprosy of our sin, his love fills us, and it fills us to an overflow that comes from us so that the lepers around us will learn about the Savior who has healed us. And as people who were spiritual lepers at one time, let us celebrate. Let us celebrate the love of God who healed us and share this good news with others. Let us recognize his goodness. Let us give thanks for his compassion. Let us praise his holy name. We too can join the Samaritan leper, and we can praise God with a loud voice. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you please stand if you're able? Let us now confess together our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our
Lord. As a family in Jesus Christ, let us pray. Dear Lord and God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather this morning to praise your holy name. Thank you for bringing us together safely. Thank you for all those among us who are selfless and tend to the needs of others, including comforting those who are suffering from disease, who are lonely and despair, or anxious about the future of our nation and around the world. We know that you are pleased when we help each other rather than tearing each other down and finding faults. Thank you for reminding us through your Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture that we are not blameless and should never cast stones at others. Lord in heaven, we pray for our president, his cabinet, and First Lady who are working hard to bring peace to warring people around the world, and to bring children home to their families who have been displaced by the violence of war. Thank you, Holy Father, for guiding our president as well as leaders around the world to find common ground and peaceful resolutions to various conflicts, and especially to those harboring hateful resentment towards each other in the Middle East. Only through your hand can good prevail over evil. We also pray for our own nation, Father. We are sick. Evil and chaos abounds. We plead for your help as the great physician to heal our citizens and political leaders. Guide us to choose our elected representatives wisely and to hold our politicians accountable for their words and actions. We know that we are all sinful and fallible. We urgently need your law in the forefront of our lives and minds to drive us to try to change our direction, to repent of our sins, and to embrace your saving grace and mercy. Dear Lord, we pray for the safety of law enforcement officers throughout the United States who are now frequently under attack by those driven by evil forces. You already know, Lord, that our police often face the worst of humankind as they work diligently every day to protect our citizens from harm. Please protect them. We pray for wisdom for our political leaders throughout the nation who have lost sight of the need for law and order in our society. Guide them to focus on the needs of peaceful society rather than their own personal political careers. Our sins against you put us out here rather than in your garden, and it is often hard to see your light. Thank you for our Savior, your only Son, Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit who points us to your light when we get lost, as we so often are. Thank you for the hope you provide that we will not suffer under Satan's reign for long, though it often seems that way. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading our hearts and minds to perceive the truth in a world filled with sin, lies, deceit, and hate. We pray that you would guide us to do what pleases our Heavenly Father rather than that which we would like to do in our sin. We pray for the safety of our children against both physical and mental harm. Help us show them your light rather than the darkness that seems to surround them. Help us to be good examples for a peaceful life and steer clear of those things like social media and videos that serve to lure them into danger. Thank you, Lord, for our faithful loved ones who have gone home to you before us and the assurance of Jesus the Christ that we too will be reunited with them in his presence in heaven. We pray for the safety of all of our military members. Please shield them from all harm. Keep their service to our country honorable, and bring them home from their duties safely. Holy Father, we pray for those who travel. Please give all we love safe journeys. Almighty God, thank you for our church family and our pastor. As you already know, your church on earth is under attack. We pray for the safety of those who worship here and your protective embrace of all faithful wherever they are. Finally, we now share with you our personal prayers kept deep in our hearts or spoken aloud. Into your hands, Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace. You please pray with me. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave. And by his glorious resurrection, he opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy. Lord Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread and he gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for all who should believe. Do this in remembrance of me." We know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now read the perfect prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. God is so good that even if his priest or his pastor fumbles on the institution of the elements, even if he misspeaks or forgets some parts on it, the efficacy of this means of grace still remains intact. I take great peace in knowing that Luther said that it is still efficacious even if an evil priest gives it to you. It's not the power in the priest, but it's the power in the word and the combined with the Holy Spirit and the faith of those that are receiving it. So if you noticed a little bit of ebbity, 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 ebbity in the middle of that, forgive me. I'll do better next Sunday. This is a means of grace. We believe that oil, it doesn't transubstantiate into actual blood and body. We believe as Lutherans that he is in, on, above and below and side by side of these elements, that we believe that it is miraculous, that it does rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. Now, if that is your confession, and if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and I heard you confess that, then come. The table is prepared. The usher will bring you forward. And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our sending hymn is I Love to Tell the Story. It is hymn number 390. Let's sing as unto the Lord.